Before I start teaching, Beverly has something she wants to share with all of us, so I'm going to let her come.
Well, this morning, I had a concern about not being ready today, not feeling ready, and I got in the shower and I started to sing, "Cast all of your cares upon Him."
Amen.
And that was so beautiful to me because I, through that song and through singing in the shower, everything just lifted away. All of my troubles, all of the concerns that I have with my daily walk, my daily life. And I think that we should always try to remember that He doesn't want us to carry those burdens. He wants to carry them. He wants us to give them over.
Amen.
And I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he was talking about Revelation 4 and 5, and Connie, I'm trying to shorten this down because I've got like a ton of stuff on it. Revelation 4 and 5 talks about the seals, the seven seals are the scrolls that no one was worthy to open. And in the midst of those scrolls, we see the beast that is in Ezekiel chapter 1, the four faces, representing the many faces of the Christ or the body of Christ. And in the middle of that beast, there was a lamb.
Yes.
And the lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. And the seven horns speak of all power.
Yes.
And the seven eyes speak of all vision, which is the seven spirits of God. Now, seven is a number that I haven't researched, but I know that God rested on the seventh day, and evidently He put into place this other thing that was going to have momentum and take effect on the earth, which will shortly come to pass, John said, but hello, it seems like it's been a little while. But what he saw was the body of Christ,
yes,
being
amen.
Liberated through the Lamb. And through the vision and the power of God coming together as one man, which if you look in the first book of Revelation, there's a figure there. His hair is white as the Ancient of Days. His face is brilliant. And his feet are pure gold. So that speaks of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Body. I'm not ashamed. I don't think it robbery to say that we are one with Him. Of course we're under Him and all that, but we need to learn as a group to cast ourselves down. And the scripture that I wanted to bring this morning was, if any man loves his life, he'll have to lay it down. And so I want to read that in Matthew. We need to learn to cast our life upon Him because we don't have the answer. We think we have the answers. We think we can figure it out. And we think we can do this and that. And we do a lot of things that work. But absolutely, He has all the answers. And in Matthew chapter 10, if you want to follow along, it just came to me so clearly when this man was speaking this morning that the Lamb, with all those eyes and all those horns, is in the midst of the beast, the four beasts, the faces of the Christ, that we are. We are represented in that. And that He's in the midst of us even now, even in this realm. And someone said to me the other day, well, some people believe this and some people believe that. And I said, I read the end of the story. There is a time coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, not in condemnation, not in horrible despair, but to the glory of God. Can you imagine the joy that creation will experience when Christ sets everybody free?
Yes.
When every man can come to Him in liberty and without condemnation, that He has purpose for us in this life to experience no condemnation. It's so beautiful. But there's a price that we pay, and it is our life, because He gave His life And greater love has no man in this than he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he did. And now we need to lay down our lives for others. We need to begin to realize that it's not our own. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. And I just really thank him, because I don't want all these cares and all these things that I have to carry around every day. I want something else. I want him. And I just want to read this little bit of scripture here. Matthew 10. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. Do you have peace in your families and on the earth? But I came to send a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So the rule of love that Christ has set for us is to love him first, and then to love all the others as we love ourselves. And that gives your life up, because you care about what happens to other people, not just what happens to you. And I think it's so beautiful that we can cast these things at his feet, and he will absolutely relieve us of the pain and the suffering and the carrying of all these many things that we carry every day. And also, when Gideon was in the going into the battle with 300 men, he said, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? And so he set a fleece before God. And he said, Lord, you know, if the dew is wet on the wool, he put a piece of wool on the ground, and then I will go forth and do what you told me to do. And then the water was on the wool. Well, then he said, well, now, Lord, wait a minute. Maybe that was just dew on the wool.
Yeah, maybe I missed it.
Maybe I missed it. Yeah. And so he said, the next day, he said, well, let the dew be on the ground and not on the wool. So the next day, the second day, and the second witness was that the water was on the ground and not on the wool. And he said, I guess I have to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is how we roll, folks. The second witness to this, there's always a second witness in the scripture. If you want to know if the scripture's interpreted truthfully, there's always a second witness. I have never seen so many faces of beasts in the scripture in my life since Connie started opening my heart to this. And those four faces are everywhere. They're almost in every prophecy, every book, everywhere. They're in Revelation. And so the second witness to this is in Matthew 16:25. And it says, Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For so whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So, you know, I know that this is like old school, but to me it's so real right now. This salvation that we have is free. It's so wonderful. It's so available. There's nothing to keep you from it. There's nothing to bring you away from it, because it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, I've heard people say, oh, it's all good, and then they'll go away and have another problem. But it is all good with this. This is not something that you have to worry about or that you have to challenge or, you know, just lay it on Him and let Him have it, and He'll bring you through whatever's going on in your life today, whatever care you have, whatever consideration that you have to deal with. Bring it forth unto the Lord, and He will bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Beverly. Are we trying to get cool?
You good?
Is it doing any better?
It's cold. It's cold.
We got a lot of people in here.
A lot of fire. Thanks a lot.
I didn't say that. No, you just brought the hot air.
Must have been Christine. I got a little handout, so if people can take one and pass them around. There's a scripture that I'd like to deal with in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, physically, morally, blameless, purifying every mental action," that's doing something, "and I pray your whole spirit," you see my little things I've drawn up here, "soul and body be preserved blameless." So it's good to understand that we are three party. You can see our physical being, but these two things you cannot see, spirit or soul. And here is a well laid out diagram of that soul. Can you guys see that from back there? I think even when Karen's kids were small, we were teaching this, and they're now 40, 50, I don't know how many years old all these kids are. Moving right along. Don't get offended. Yeah, at any rate, in studying these faces of the beast or the living creatures, whatever the scripture calls them, we've come to understand that this divine feminine, which is the soul part, is made up of thoughts, emotions, desires, and a willpower. I hope to touch on the willpower this morning because it is the one that changes the most as we grow spiritually. Okay, let me see. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, if you want to turn there, I got scripture for all you Bible scholars and schools of thought people. And there are many, many schools of thought, so you can have yours and I can have mine. Hebrews 12, I believe it is. It's not. It's Hebrews. It is 4:12. Very well know that if I can find it. There's a flow in the land, and it's not by fat chance that it's so strong, that beautiful flow. It's like us coming together like we did this morning. My first cry is for the flow of the Father and for each one to find that flow. I don't want to be out here in the spray. I want to be part of this that's flowing into the fish's mouth. This is the Aquarian Age. And Jesus said, when He was walking the earth, "Go find the man with the pitcher." Well, he was talking afar off. He wasn't talking about right that minute, because there were no men carrying pitchers. Men didn't do that. That was a woman's work. So when he said, go find the man with the pitcher, he was talking about this man 2,000 years from then that's carrying this pitcher that's pouring a river of life out of them. Words are alive. Words that we speak are very, very important. So we should make them full and holy. Be careful, little mouth, what you speak. So it's very important what we say. The scripture says, for the word of God is living. It has divine energy. As Beverly was speaking this morning, I was listening to how it was affecting me and the rest of you. You could feel the energy that moved from it. And the beautiful thing is, when you have like-mindedness that believe that, it gives it that much more energy. So we're a mighty force this morning. My goodness. We're about to knock out the walls or the ceiling or something. Anyway, the Word of God is living and energetic and quickening. That's the one I like. When that Word is just quickened, and I've heard that thing all my life, but all of a sudden, it's mine. And I can go to the bank with it. And God spoke it to me. That's how powerful that beautiful thing is that you are. You can receive so straight from the Father. There's no mediator. Gosh, doesn't that make you feel, wow. I'm looking at June, and she gets more beautiful every day. I don't know what this is. Tim, you're doing something right. But all of you look just precious to me. We're all mediators between God and man. He can use us. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Kids know it now. Courtney and Ashley, take it with you. You're holy. God's using you as an ambassador to share his heart. Wow. I wish I'd have known that when I was 15. I'd been hard to hold. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, what soul and what spirit. But you can tell by the flow. If the word you're speaking is flowing and others are eating and flowing with it, that's spirit. If they're not, it's probably just soul. But you can enjoy it. Okay. Dividing asunder between soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And this is the one I like the most. It is a discerner of every thought and every intent of the heart. So you don't need something outside of you to tell you if something's real or God or spirit, because you have an anointing that constantly is teaching you. Just look to that anointing. Christ within you, the hope of glory, not off somewhere. It's that active Christ that lives and breathes in your cells. That's the beauty of it. The beauty of it. You are the He that can bring that beautiful thing to others. Okay, let's see where I am here. Let's look at Romans 8 just for a moment. and one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we get up every morning, and the carnal mind starts going around and around and around and around, telling you everything you missed or didn't do right. Mm-hmm. Or how bad you were 50 years ago. So I just have learned to say, hey, dude, I understand who you are and what you are. And you really don't even exist, because I'm better than that. Anyway, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to hear that negative stuff. Only if we choose, if you choose to sit there and let that hellish demon that's in a pit dictate to you. I don't wish to sit there. I'm not into the pit ministry. I've been there enough. Know what it looks like. Dug out a bunch of them for myself and other people too if they wanted one. So that, and that's too bad, but I did it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin and death. For what the law can never do, legal things, you lay down a law and somebody's going to break it. Is that for what the law could not do in that sending, it was weak through fleshy interpretations. We all take the law and interpret it our way. And if you don't believe it, get on Fox News in the morning and they interpret it every kind of way to suit them. I mean, they twist it and turn it till you don't even recognize it. What the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who are walking after Spirit. You actually have to set your gaze on walking after Spirit. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to tell the difference between soul and spirit. It's easy. If I'm walking in the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus, I'll be lifted up and feeling better. Okay, for those that are in the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we're struggling with this little thing sometimes, because the carnal mind, the mind that everybody is born with, is not subject to the law of God. That means it doesn't submit. How many of you have got beautiful, perfectly submissive children? Hello. I had five, so I know how children are. Anyway, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It is in enmity. That means it is exactly hostile to the Spirit of God in you. So it's easy to tell the difference, because it's so, it rubs each other. There's a conflict that causes you not to want to do. So you have to bring that thing under subjection. Every thought into the obedience of the Christ mind, which you're equipped with, and so beautifully equipped with. Everybody is given loads of love. We don't hear a lot about that, but we're equipped with it is an arsenal that we can open up anytime. Just begin to sing and make melody in your heart, and your enemy will flee. Put on a gospel tune. Do a dance before the Lord. Whatever it takes to wake up your mouth, so to speak. Okay. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you're not in the flesh, but in spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Everybody in this room has the Spirit of God in you. It's there. You're breathing, aren't you? I call that spirit. You're breathing breath. And that breath's so wonderful. Breathing it in and out. But what is the purpose of the breath? What are we going to do with it? Let's see if I can't move on now. There's a scripture in St. John. Yes, it's cool because I'm cold. Well, they freeze. They're hot back there.
The air's coming down on them back there.
Well, that's a lot. When you know it. Okay, we've looked at this soul realm, and we know that it speaks of the mind, emotions, will, and desires. Today, I hope to focus on the will. If you look at the camp of Israel, and that's what this is how they camped in Israel. This is the western camp, and it's called the camp of the ox. It was ruled by Ephraim. Ephraim and Manasseh were brothers. They were Joseph's two sons, and they were really a dual sign. There's two horns that will show you that in this thing I'm getting ready to show you. It deals with the gates of willpower. And in the pictures that the scripture presents four times, the will loses its strength over time, or it changes places, so to speak, faces. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Get my little thingy here. John helped me with this, thank God, and Sue's. Can you see it? Pretty good. Okay, this wheel right here. Thank you, Speed. That's undealt with. I've met people that acted like this. I mean, mad, stubborn, not going to do anything. So this is what we call the undealt with willpower within us. But after a meeting with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, you see a change, and it becomes attainable. There's scripture for all of these on this handout that I gave you, if you want to look. And then in Ezekiel 1 and 10, we see that this same angry, fierce-looking thing has become reduced to a calf, which is a broken will. I always tell the same story because I was raised on a farm, and my granddaddy had some bulls like that, and I stayed away from them. But now this little thing, I could go play with him. I'd lay my face up beside his, and kiss him and run him and try to ride him. all those beautiful things. Anyway, in the fourth picture, which is in Ezekiel 10, we see that this has become this, which is a man, the cherub nature, which is totally submitted unto God. So our will has some changes to go through. Let me read you these in John. Okay, St. John 1 and 13. Now let's read 12 so it makes sense. It says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his character. You know, Christ has character. It's a personality, and it's so huge. It flows through the universe. It's not just the earth, but everywhere. Christos. So it doesn't just mean name, but it means a nature. Something that's just, there's a lamb in the house. Do you like that song? First time I heard that song, it blew me away. I thought, that song will be part of me. Because there is a lamb in my house. There's a lamb in your house. That lamb is Christ. And it's available. The doorpost is painted. You've eaten him. He's part of you. No wonder you can answer to Christ Jesus. You have eaten him. You have drunk him. He is you. Isn't that wonderful? You could actually say, hey, I'm Christ. Of course, they might get out three nails and a hammer, so you better run. If you are, come here to me, you know. But anyway, let me get to this. Even to them that believe on his character, in his character, which were born not of blood, that's good, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. Look at these wills. Not of the will of, what was the first one? Bloods. Well, we could call this a royal bloodline if you wanted to. Anybody saying, hey, we're going to produce the Son of God, any bloodline. You could say that. I'm going to have a kid, and I'm going to raise it in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I did that. Well, it didn't quite happen like I thought it was going to happen, because it's not supposed to be born of Connie or my will, but of the will of God when it's God's time. Anyway, so it's not of bloods, if somebody destined it, and we know a man that did that. You remember Hitler? I'm going to make a great Aryan race. Wasn't that his goal? Well, did he get it done? I don't think so. Also what?
His downfall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The thing is, he had Jew blood in him. He hated the very thing he was.
Please. And not of flesh, just somebody says, I'm going to do this. I have an impulse. Or, I think I want to plant this seed, and this seed is going to be God's. And I mean it. Can't be done that way. Or, just man. I have a translation I want to read that I like better than what I'm saying. Let me find it. This one says, who owe their birth neither to any human blood, nor to any physical urge, nor to any human design, but to God. The ego can't do it. The ego can't do it. The ego can't do it. It has to be born of God. I picked up a book this morning as I was thinking upon this. And it was one of those gospels that Gnostics telling about Mary. How that she was one of seven virgins that was hoped to bear the Son of God. But none of them knew which one. But Gabriel came to her and told her. He said, "You've never known a man." Okay, folks, this holiness that is born in us never knows man. That thing, that beautiful Christ within, that's born of the Father. It's not anything anybody can do. No man can plant that seed. That's a spiritual thing, and it's so beautiful that being born of God. It's not something, it's not a gift we can give each other. It's what God does sovereignly on His own. He plants that beautiful seed. And Gabriel spoke to her. He said, "You're going to be pregnant with life." Have you felt that way before? Pregnant with life? Just so full of God that you couldn't be still? How many rows of teeth do we need for that mouth? Lots, because we want to tell about it. The beautiful story of it. Okay, let's go over this some more. This knot of bloods does suggest royal blood, I thought. You know, that's kind of turned me off. Of course, I'm not royal blood in the natural. But I got a good genetic line. Okay. Are the will of the flesh, are the will of man, just a personal choice. Say, "I'm going to do this." Can you imagine determining that instead of it being the Father's purpose? Okay. So this birth that I'm speaking of is completely a spiritual thing. If each of you that has been born again or remember your spiritual birth, you could go back and tell me when that happened. I remember mine distinctly. I remember a beginning anyway. I was living in Texas, and so felt so alone. I was about 12 years old because I had been raised mostly by my grandmother, and they were very spiritual minded. And she really loved God. She had been a Church of God as far as religion went, but she didn't force that down my throat, the religious part. And every morning, she would grab a straight back chair and fall on her face and pray. And she'd say, "Now, Connie, you do not have to pray. But while I pray, you do have to be quiet." So I busied myself, but I watched her, you know. And she'd just pray, and she was quiet, not loud. And she'd get up and wipe her old eyes with her apron, because often she'd been weeping, probably for me. But anyway, my folks moved to Texas and they took me with them. So I'd have to walk by a little Baptist church every time I went to school. And one day I just felt, you know, you get urges. if you're an Aries, you really get urges. But, and I'm an Aries, so I had this urge. I wanted to go in the church. So I did. I went in the church, and so I kind of started going there once in a while, and I even got baptized there. And then I had a quiet period in my life, and God kind of let me do my thing, you know. Just kind of rocked along that way. Got married and had children. We had some other encounters with God. But the main encounter came when I was pregnant with Morgan. I had this urge again to get started into something spiritual. So I had a dream. And I really wasn't doing the church thing big. We went sometime, you know, and it was a charismatic, Pentecostal holiness thing, which wasn't bad. It was good. Anyway, had a dream. I dreamed that Morgan and I were walking to the store. At that time, Johnny was working two jobs to support this family. If not been in the Navy, you know, if you have too many kids like Karen and me did, you have to work a lot to buy food. Anyway, he was working, helping build a church, and with him was a pastor that worked with him. And he wore khakis when he worked. And I thought, in the dream, I saw that pastor in khakis sitting on a pedestal. And I was walking, and I was walking pretty fast, because I did back then. And he was watching me intently. And I don't mean like a man watches a woman. Not that kind of watching. And I turned around and I said to him, "I know who you are. You are the Christ of God. You are Jesus Christ." And when I did, he just manifested and his robe became alive. And he was huge. I mean, there was thousands of him. I saw the body of Christ. And I walked to him, into him, and disappeared. So God gives us real experiences and changes things. This will that I'm talking about is in every man. Until we meet the Master, of course that's how we are. You meet people that are angry and don't even know why they're angry. There's something behind the anger. We need to just dig a little deeper here, because it's God's mercy to answer who we are. We're our identity. He cares about every one of us and how we feel. Every feeling is important to him. Every stubbornness, every emotion, every mentality that comes your way, he cares. And can change that into a blessing. So we meet the Master. You do know the sacrifice of the bull, don't you? Well, none of this goes inside the gate. I promise you, outside the gate, they strip that bull of all the BS. You do know what BS is. Everything's stripped out there and left outside the gate. The only thing taken inside is the thing, the meat that the priest eat. So, none of this remains. It becomes this as we grow in the Father. Okay, Father, what is your purpose in this? I mean, you walk in the door and all this stuff is happening in your day, in your life. And you want to say, you know, God, am I serving you for naught? Then he says to us, all things work together for good. Doesn't say all things are good. For good, if you're called according to the purpose. And we're called according to the purpose. Of course we are. The purpose is to fulfill his heart. So his hand's on every one of us. Positively. Doesn't feel that way sometimes. Sometimes I want to say it's too close. Back off a little bit. Or make me see it a little different. Anyway, as we grow in this, and these I matched with it so you could see the four wheels over in St. John. That was so beautifully shared with me years ago. And it opened up this for me that I've never been able to present. I could see it in my mind's eye. But I couldn't find the pictures that I wanted to present it with. How we change as we move into the Christ nature. And it's reduced to this, where we just say, Father, whatever. From this, where we're snorting, fighting bull, to this, which is so beautiful. Yes. I don't know what it means, God, but I give it to you. I don't know why this is happening to me. And each of you have that in your life. Certain things come your way. It rains on the just and the unjust. It just does. It just does. It's good.
It's amazing how whatever our attitude is toward what's happening. If our attitude is bullish like that, then it is hell to us.
Yes.
If it's like this over here, then it's, this is somehow great.
Yes, it is.
The anger part is stuff that we don't have control over. It is for me. Because
yeah.
The chair part would actually be, for me, is about acceptance. And you're right, Speed, about the mind frame thing. But when you have things coming your way you don't have control over, what do you do with it? I mean, it's displaced, but it keeps coming. So, I mean, I don't know. You have to get into a place of acceptance. The mind is so powerful.
Yes, it is.
It's the entity itself, in my book.
But yes.
Like this thing of me being sick, you know, I process this and process this. It takes me a while to process and accept things like that I don't have control over. But, I mean, have I accepted it? No, but I'm tired of dealing with it.
But you're working on it.
I'm working on it. But
that's all this asks.
I don't want to accept something like that. I mean, it's just, you know, why do I have to, is what I'm saying. You know, there's a why there. But
every step we take is for a divine purpose. And sometimes you look back and you'll think, that just seems wasted for me. Well, maybe it wasn't just for you.
Right.
Maybe somebody you live with needs a lesson.
Yeah, it's not all about me.
Or down the street. It's not all inclusive to just you, and we all tend to think, well, me, me, me.
Well, that's the whole mystery of it, is not being able to see in that moment. We talk about the moment, but yet we can't see it in the moment. Not everything. And so I kind of question that. What is the purpose? And I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, sitting down having a talk with yourself.
Really?
About these things, trying to resolve it. That gets me into a place of acceptance of what I can't control or fix.
Yeah, it does, Terry. I watched Terry do that, and she does a good job. She's found her an avenue to walk that gets her from here, and it's a little bit at a time, you know, because sometimes you kind of like your bull. It's my bull. It's okay, and you mess with it, I'm going to wear you out. So you know, we all kind of like our own lions, our emotions, and our bull, our ox nature. A father gives it to us for us to overcome, beautifully gives it to us and shows it to us in the scripture. The same thing with mentalities and desires. Oh, that deep yearning desire in you to serve something, that's God. Ah, the desire to serve this body, man, I have that. To let that love just flow, that emotion that is so strong. We're so much spiritual and natural family here. You know, we don't have any real strangers in our midst. Anyway, God beautifully does that through the emotion of love. He ties us together with that thing. That's why he says in this one, he says, send Judah first. In the march, everything was done orderly. That I didn't teach. Everything is for order and purpose. None of these marched when they wanted to march. They had to march just like God said. He said, you send Judah first, and the battle will be won. Judah speaks of love. Send my loving desire first, and it'll win every victory. Exodus 14 and 14 says, hold on to your peace, and I'll fight your battle. Boy, I'll eat those words over and over. But God, I got something to say. Well, shut your mouth. But I just got to say it, God. Well, just go right ahead and trip over your tongue and then lay it on the altar and let everybody pray for that tongue foot by foot. Because it's that long. No. Anyway, this is a beautiful picture of you. It's a beautiful picture of God's body throughout the earth. But it's also a picture of us here. We have a little local body that God established. And you can ask each one that's a part of it and they'll tell you, he did, because we'd have killed each other. He put it together and he kept it because our heart's desire was to serve him. And it's growing. And look at you guys. I knew you when you weren't hardly. You just about got here. That was about it. So it's a beautiful thing how God puts us together. I probably didn't make this as plain as I would have liked to. But maybe I should go to this. This is the Western camp. It's the same as this right here. This is the tribe of Benjamin where he camped. This is the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh, and they were a dual tribe. That's why the two horns speak of these two tribes. And it's the ox. This one was called Causing to Forget. You do remember the story of Jacob blessing Joseph's sons, and you see his hands are crossed because he blessed Ephraim the younger before he blessed the elder. Although in the destiny order in the scripture, Ephraim won't make it because he becomes the rebellious ox or heifer. He won't submit, so his tribe is not listed in the Revelation. And today, I'll tell you where we are. For 2,000 years, we are under the sign of Aquarius, which is the man pouring the water out, and the fish is ready to receive. That's where we're going to be for 2,000 years. Wonderful place and time to live. It's the pouring out of the rivers of the waters of life everywhere. And right now we are in the this month. I don't know what to do with this. I don't want it to fall. We're in Libra. Libra is the priesthood tribe. If you know anything about the tabernacle, the priesthood tribe is the tribe that camped right here. This is Levi. He camped inside. He took care of all the furniture, the clothing, the cloths. He picked up the tabernacle and they tore it down and set it up. And they went 3 days' journey down the road to do this with Judah. So if you're ahead of somebody, just think, well, maybe they're back there. Maybe they're coming. And know that you're ahead, of course. Anyway, that's where we are in the sun sign right now. This Libra will bring a balance. And the moon is in Capricorn today. That's an earth sign. And if you're not earthy, it'll bring you down to earth. Libra is an air sign, and it takes you into the intellect and all those things. And I think that's about all I'm going to share, unless you have questions or something. It's wonderful to be with you guys. My husband's off until a little while, so he gets to be with us too. And so that's great. And we got Emily with us. And we don't get to have her very often. Has anybody got anything they want to say? Christine, the Lord's going to bring a healing for you, okay? You just look for that to come. It was meant for you to be here and be amongst people that love you. Okay. We will pray over the food and go up and try to find somewhere to eat.